Good morning, Southern Arizona, and the rest of you out there in cyberspace. Welcome to the Simmons Car Care Shop Talk Show, right here on the 50th year of Simmons 4x4 being in business. This program has run about 35 years. I think it's the longest running automotive talk show in the nation. In fact, I'm pretty sure it is. As long as continuous. I mean, seemed like I've been doing this all my life and loving every second of it. That's the reason I'm still doing it. Anyway, I'm Jerry Simmons, your host. And along with my co-host, which is Jim Mooney from Frontier Towing. And welcome to the Simmons Car Care Show. 1490 AM on your dial, 94.9 HD4 on the FM station. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, everybody out there in cyberspace. Thanks for listening this morning. Remember, live call-in talk show. Call us live here at 520-719-1490. And remember, folks, that's right, we're back again. It's Saturday. It means it's super safe Saturday. For all of you out there listening, for those of you who listened before, you know the deal. For those of you who haven't listened, well, we'll go over it nice and easy for you guys, so you understand what Super Safe Saturday means. That means move over or slow down if you see a disabled vehicle on the side of the road. That doesn't just apply to law enforcement or fire. That applies to grandma's grocery getter. Also applies to bicyclists and dog walkers. So the last thing you want to do is tangle with a bicycle or dog walker first thing in the morning. It's going to be a very nice day out there, so they're going to be out there in full force. Make sure you move over, give them a little bit of road. Includes everybody else out there inside of the road. Tow truck drivers and construction workers, I know we don't like to see those guys on the side of the road sometimes because they cause us a delay, but just move over anyways. That means Super Safe Saturday means no texting and driving, no drinking and driving. And we got the drinking and driving down pretty good, or we got not doing it pretty good, which is what we're supposed to do. No YouTubing. No TikToking while you're driving, folks. But that, folks, I know you can't. You just got to watch one more video while you're driving down the road. We'll stop it. Watch real life in front of you out there on the dang highway. There's more interesting stuff out there on the road than there is on TikTok, trust me, if you just pay attention a little bit. If you're working on your car, that means that's right. I know, isn't it crazy, Jerry? You'd think that people would want to see life and not live somebody else's. But hey, I just got to tell you. So if you're working on your car, remember jack stands if you're jacking up your car. Safety glasses, sun safety glasses before you start any of the project. Get yourself some nice mechanic gloves so when you take your wheels off, you don't get your hands all dirty and cut them to shreds. Or if you're working any of the new cars with the sheet metal that has, I don't know, I think they just put razor blades on the sheet metal so when you reach in there it just slices your hands to a ribbon. So good reason to have mechanics gloves on. Hood prop, put the hood prop up or get a good hood prop so your hood doesn't fall down on you. Don't rely on those gas shocks because, they team up. They look at each other and go, hey, is it time? And they say, yep, and boom, right on your head, they fall. I know. They have their own personality, just like the car. So disconnect your electrical if you're working on your electrical. Keep your long sleeves out of the way if the engine's running so you don't get caught your sleeves caught in the motor or the fan belt. Don't stand in front of the car while it's running. That's Jerry's tip. Real super great tip. Don't stand in front of the car in case that thing decides to pop into gear. Because it does. Could. I've seen it happen. Jerry's seen it happen. We've all seen it happen. You work on cars long enough, you see this stuff. Chalk your wheels at any point. Put your keys in your pocket. I think that's all of them, Jerry. I think I hit every one of them today. Did I miss one? I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe you got most of it.
I got most of it? Which one did I miss?
Yeah. Tell them when you're driving, turn their lights on.
You know what? Excellent. I don't know what it is, folks. You're driving down the road. There's the thing. I guess probably the problem is that some vehicles turn on automatically, and some vehicles you actually got to turn the lights on. Even on later model vehicles, you guys got to actually turn the light switch on. If you're driving down This is the deal, folks. You're driving down the road. You start, and you leave from a well-lit area. Okay? Well-lit area, you can't tell if your lights are on. But, you know, the dashboard isn't lit up, but you think it's lit up because the outside lights are helping you, right? So you're driving along, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do, and the lights get pretty good until you hit 22nd Craycroft. And then between 22nd Craycroft and 22nd Wilmot, it seems like they turned all the lights off. Don't ask me why. It doesn't seem like there's very many good lights along that area. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you will immediately know that your lights are off because everything goes dark. So do me a favor. Check your lights. You know what? If you don't know, flash them when you're in there. If they flash on, you know, if they flash on high and stay on high before you leave, before you get out and start driving. If you can turn your brights on, turn your brights off, you know. You got your lights on. Check your gauges. You know, look down at your gas gauge. For the love of Pete, look down at your gas gauge. I know we all have these. The new car's got the little dingy bell and the little thing that comes on that says you're out low on fuel. You know, and it lights up and everything. People still run out of fuel every single day. Probably should be the first thing you get in the car and look at your gas gauge. Okay.
Well, Jim, in all fairness to the public, the gas prices has jumped 50 cents in the last month.
Oh, I
know. In fact, it jumped 50 cents in 3 weeks.
It's crazy. It's
50 and when
cents.
I mean, so, you know, if you can drive it on the fumes, drive it on the fumes. You know, didn't you ever have a little Volkswagen that had a spare gas tank and you used to run out of gas with a regular gas tank and then run the 1 gallon out in that little spare tank? We've been running out of gas forever. Yeah. You're never going to change.
Well, you're probably right, Jerry. They never go. And you're right. 50, and it's crazy. Yeah, diesel and gas are now the same price where it used to be diesel was higher, and all of a sudden now, what do I mean, we just decided that it's too hard to account for, we'll just make them the same? You know, it's crazy out there. I don't, you know, oh, it's the refineries. It's the whatever. It's just expensive.
It's COVID. It's COVID. Let's just blame it on COVID and cut it down all the crap. Yeah. I mean, that's about as realistic as anything else. But, yeah, they've got it, you know. I did a little research on a few things this past week. One of it was scams on people. And I've got a lot of information on new scams that come out and stuff. And artificial intelligence, oh, my gosh. They can tell you anything. And the thing that concerns me, Jim, is do you know that they can copy our voice off of this radio program and then they can use it to call places like the banks, savings, any savings accounts, checking accounts, insurance companies, mortgage companies, and stuff like that just by copying our voices? Ain't nothing I can do to prevent that. I don't know. But it's already too late, so don't panic.
I wasn't gonna.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jerry, I've got the worst voice known on the planet. So, you know, if you want to copy my voice and try and get somewhere, it ain't gonna happen. Nobody will be like, that's not even the right. Are you kidding me? That's manufactured. Go away. Of course,
well,
everybody thinks they're really
I hate to disagree with you, little buddy, but yes, they can. I mean, they've done it. They've already done it. You are a guinea pig. And I started, I said, well, I'm never going to, wait a minute, I'm never going to talk over the airways so they can copy mine? It takes 15 seconds. I'm going, oh, my gosh. So, and for the rest of people out there, all they need is 15 seconds and they can copy your voice. That's artificial intelligence. And I'm going, you know, if artificial intelligence is the way to go, I mean, we're really getting lazy.
Yes, we are.
I mean,
yes, we are.
Artificial intelligence is good for stuff. We have it in the automotive industry and have had it for a long time. with your technical support, all of this. They'll come in, and then your technical data, TPSs and all that stuff that's coming out. You know, they're printing automatically, and they see stuff, and everything is just it's evolving, and it's already evolved. Now it's under the – we've gotten to the stage where now what do we do? Now what kind of controls do we have? So it's kind of interesting what's going on, but it's not going to get any better. Oh, and before I forget it, I've got 4 tickets to the Fan Appreciation Night at NASCAR's racetrack here in Tucson, Arizona, Tucson Speedway. And I've got 4 tickets for callers 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to roll it for both hours. Modified super late models with a double hit on that, double mains, pro stocks, hobby stocks, legends, and bandoleros. And that's on April 13th at today. The gates open, I think, 5 o'clock. And callers 1, 2, 3, 4, phone number is 520-719-1490, 520-719-1490. The weather's going to be drop-dead perfect tonight. So, you know, yeah, get on the phones, 719-1490. I got 4 tickets, 4 family packs of 4, 4 people per ticket. So it's quite a value. Anyway,
on your voice cloning, there's the site. It's called Speechify. So Jerry, think about this. Speechify. Instead of Spotify, Speechify. You could do all your voice cloning. You could turn your text to speech. You can turn your I could type something and then I could spit it out like I was saying it. I can turn speech to text, so I could talk into the computer and it would write the paper for me. You could talk into the computer and write the paper for me. This is what I think all the kids do today. You can clone the voice or transcribe it. You could do all kinds of things. Think about this, Jerry. You could go through all the past shows you've done, and you will live forever. You'd never have to do another show again. You could just have it all done automatically. You could live forever.
Hey, it would bore me to death. What do you think it would do to the listening audience?
Probably there's like anything computerized, there's going to be a glitch, because all the computerized cars that we have out there today never had any problems whatsoever. No, that's why we have many tow trucks. None.
Yeah.
So pretty sure that there's going to be a lot of mess ups, and I mean, maybe not. I don't know. Never done it. Never tried to. I'll have to see if I can do some AI and with my voice, see how good I can make it. Maybe I can make myself sound like, somebody famous. Maybe I can turn myself into George Clooney or somebody. I should turn into. Cary
Grant. Are you going to change your say? What are you going to do? You're going to have AI to pick up George Clooney's voice and put it on your head or something?
Yeah, something like that. Or Cary Grant. I think Cary Grant would be a little bit more my style. So George Clooney's more recognizable. Cary Grant's not. But for all of us out there, old guys, we know who Cary Grant is. So I'll go with Cary Grant.
Hey, Jim. Were you working on your car this weekend and got hit in the head with the hood or something?
There was a lot of fumes in the back, Jerry. I could have got some exhaust fumes. That's an excellent thing, Jerry. If you are working on your car in your garage and it's running, you should make sure that the garage is well ventilated so that you do not get exhaust fumes. I never thought about that one until you just said it right now, Jerry. Because you and I both know you're running your car and the exhaust fume comes out. You got to well ventilate that or put an exhaust vent on it to keep the fumes down, right? You don't want the.
There is a lot of people, down. Jim. Trust me. There's a lot of people out there that don't even know that the gas. They see forklifts run inside of buildings, picking up stuff and stuff like that. They don't realize it's run on natural gas. And it doesn't put out an emissions that'll kill you. But that's an excellent tip right there. That's an excellent tip. In fact, if it's not raining outside, raise the garage door, open the garage door, and get all the air circulating in there. If you have a fan, set it in front of the car, blow it toward the door, and that'll keep it evacuated too. Because depending on what you're working on, you can get some of these cars and start adjusting carburetors, especially if you got a bad carburetor or something, and you're starting up like your antique cars. Those things, I mean, you can really tell a difference. But just get in the habit of don't start a car until the doors are open. I don't care if it's 10 degrees out there. Don't do it. Because that thing will take your rear end right out. Not so much as the late models as it is for the earlier model vehicles. But there's no sense in playing Russian roulette with it, because you got a runability issue. You're going to be creating a bunch of dangerous chemicals coming out of the back end. If you got a busted catalytic converter or, you know, anything that controls the emissions, it will make you sick, especially since you're not used to dealing in it as much as we used to. I mean, this stuff is just nasty. I seen something else that I thought was interesting, too. $2 billion of COVID fraud money has been detected, and about $1 billion has been recovered. And I thought, well. So, you know, $2 billion of COVID money. I mean, oh, my gosh. Then I was looking at it, said 50 cents a gallon on gas. So what can we talk about to save gas tips on that? And then another thing is the average cost of a top 10 electric car starts at $54,000. Average cost of top 10 cars is $54,000. 43 to 65 plus whatever equipment you want on it. In other words, if you want a radio, I guess it charges extra, or tires or whatever. And I thought that was interesting. And also the hybrid seems to be one of the primary things with the manufacturers to come back and try not to lose so much money on their manufacturing of vehicles, you know, hybrid, you know, green, competitive, or whatever they want to call them. But on the hybrid vehicles, and then I heard an ad that's it. We're talking about how great the sales are on electric vehicles. So they're still pumping that, but I guess Ford has a bunch of pickups that they're probably making a pretty good deal on them now, because they've slowed down in sales. And you can't really get any straight information on this stuff. I mean, it's about as bad as getting your AARP magazine, and then it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pages of consumer fraud that they're pulling on everybody now. And I looked at it and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I mean, there is so much consumer fraud. You're almost afraid to use your phone. You know, you don't even want to turn your lights on because you're afraid somebody might pick it up. But I'll tell you what I have learned on as far as what's available on the web and on the all this crap that's out there. Too much personal information is available to criminals. It's well documented that there is a thriving open market for personal information on the dark web, where the credit card numbers, social security numbers, and other personal data of countless Americans are bought and sold for surprisingly small amounts of money. So with no, whether it is us contacting them and not as imposters, that's AI, you know, AI can, like I say, they can copy your voice, and then they can go ahead and spread this stuff. It's just absolutely depressing. It's almost as depressing as other. Fraud Watch Network, AARP Fraud Watch Network is on the ball. They're watching this thing and they're giving us information. But when you look at this and you go, okay, normally you pick it up and it's got one page. Not this time. And these pages are big. And so we're just, whatever you can imagine. What have you had any scams run on you lately, Jim?
As far as from a business standpoint or from just, because if I open my email.
All the above.
500. When I open my email, I get at least 500 scams a day on there. I have the FedEx scam, UPS scam, and the Postal Service scam now. Tells you that, you know, your package is going the wrong place. I have Visa, MasterCard scams. So there's just almost, this is an automotive related, but I'll sidetrack it real quick here. So there's a lawsuit for Visa, MasterCard. If you're a merchant, a business, and you took Visa, MasterCard, there's a lawsuit out there, a class action lawsuit, where $5.5 billion, I think, that's going to go not back to merchants, a $5.5 billion claim. So merchants that process Visa, MasterCards are going to get a refund because they were overcharged by Visa, MasterCard. Of course, you and I both know that $5.5 billion actually turns into about $12.33 after the lawyers get done. But that being said, you get your share of $37. You know. there's a big scam about, you know, call us and we'll help you get your Visa, MasterCard, you know, refund, right? You'll get your free money, right?
Sure.
Well, what they do is they take your in business world, folks, when you, and a lot of you guys out there listen, know, but you don't know as a merchant, when you take somebody's credit card, you have to have an account number and you have to have an ID and the whole nine yards. So they take your account number and then they go to your account number and then they take that account number and send it to you. They send that to them. So when you process the card, it doesn't come back to you. It goes to Visa, MasterCard, does the processing, and then instead of going into your bank account, it goes to their bank account. But it's just kind of an interesting little loop, but you gave them your
wow.
information without any qualms. So they're like, cool. And so how it happens is, you know, if you use Square or if you use through your bank or use some type of processing, you take the information, the card information, or you type it in or swipe it in or whatever. It goes up to a third-party processor who sends it over to Visa, MasterCard, who then sends it to the card-issuing bank, who says, yep, that's okay, who sends it back to Visa, MasterCard, who sends it back to the third-party processor, who sends it to you. Well, what happens is they unhook it from on the return trip and sends it to them. Just saying. So I've seen a lot of those.
Oh, my God.
So you could lose a lot of money right away because there's those type of scams. You know, there's...
The card readers.
The card readers, yeah.
Yep.
The card readers. Oh, so then there's the RFID issues, you know. So today, because the little chip cards are RFID, so like you can tap to pay, right? The reason why you can tap is because in your card there's an RFID chip, and it basically will tag up to the processor. So when you're walking by, that's why you have the little wallet that's got the protector in it, supposedly, right? But, you know, the guy can scan you in whatever. A lot of actually merchant applications, you can just use your cell phone and you can put the card right on top of the phone, and the phone itself has an RFID reader in it. So most modern cell phones, 2018 and up, have RFID readers in them so that to do this type of technology. So you can just, you know, you're a hot guy, you just program your phone through the dark web or however. I could never figure out how to make it work. I'm not sure.
Wow.
Gas stations get hit a lot, and so do the grocery stores now. The full-self grocery stores now, they've
right.
found all
yeah.
these card readers right over the card takers. And
yeah.
that and the gas stations, it's pretty – you got to be careful what you do.
The gas stations, they put them in the slot. But the guy with the good phone, he walks by you, and because your card is close, the proximity, like the proximity
right.
of your car, you
right.
can get it from the you can grab the card information right from the right because you're within a foot of each other or inches of each other, right? So
wow,
so that wow. scam is out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm worried about somebody cloning my voice, Jerry. They can grab my credit card. Anyway. So you have to be diligent
oh, yeah.
about that. You know, make
it's
make
called
sure
it's called voice printing to be exact, Jim.
Voice printing, yeah, the voice printing. Yeah.
Well,
uh-huh.
if they grab
that
voice.
That is one of the six fastest growing scams coming your way. Check cooking, which used to be in recent years, check washing, in which thieves steal paper checks from mailboxes, wash the ink off with a chemical. Fill in new amounts and payees. That was a big concern. Now is check cooking, in which thieves take a digital picture of a stolen check, then use commercially available software to alter it. It looks very real, even with the watermarks on, watermarks and all. Explained the Data Breach Resolution Consumer Protection of Experian. Criminals can then print a new phony check or deposit the altered image using a bank mobile app.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Learn how to pay bills and send money to loved ones and trust ones with electronic transfer from your bank. If you truly prefer to mail paper checks, drop them off directly at the nearest post office rather than using a neighborhood mailbox, and continuing monitor your checking account for suspicious transactions. There's another one, the second side of the grandparent scam has just come out.
Hey,
now they're getting two people involved.
Hey, Jerry.
So it makes it sound more realistic, and they give you a code. They give you a case number to make it sound more official when they're scamming your butt. So I heard just so much, it's depressing and it's irritating to actually get into it.
Hey, Jerry,
you know,
we got
to work your hand in off.
We got a caller, buddy.
All right.
Al's on the
Who
phone.
We got?
Alan? Hold on.
Al. Good morning, Al.
What's up, Gerald?
Good morning, Al. Welcome to the ESPN Simmons Carker Show.
I got a question for you, Jerry. I've never had this ever come up. I looked yesterday at a Japanese imported car with right-hand drive. They imported it from Japan. I think they call it JDM, Japanese Domestic Motors. It was basically a Lexus LX400 with a steering wheel on the right side. And my question is this. Is there any, I mean, the car had 80,000 miles or like 50,000 kilometers, but roughly 80,000 R miles. Everything's in Japanese in the car. Car runs great. I'm thinking of buying it. Anything unique about a right-hand drive car that would make it a problem other than passing? You know, you got to drop way back because you can't see from your side how to pass safely. So most of the travel's on the interstate, so you don't need to worry about that. That's just on two-lane roads. But have you ever worked on right-hand drive cars? Is there anything that is specifically good or bad about them?
They're better off if you use them where the roads and it is legal to drive them on the right side. You've got to learn how to drive them. When I was in Southeast Asia, that was an issue with me. You get in, and all of a sudden, steering wheel's on the right side, everything else is backwards. And it takes a little bit of getting used to, and I don't know. I remember seeing one come through the shop, and it was some guy from overseas in the military that had it shipped stationed to the
to the States, and that's how it come in. And there was nothing, I mean, there was no parts available for it that we could find to even fix it or to do the, I've never done a conversion on them, but I've seen, I'm sure people do conversions on them, you know, on these hot rods and classics and stuff, they convert everything over. So I'm sure somebody can do it. I've just never had that experience with it. As far as safety and driving and stuff, it's what, you know, if you get used to driving on the left side or you get used to driving on the right side. When I come back from Southeast Asia, first thing I did when I got in the car is I drove on the wrong side of the road. So there you go. That'll wake your passenger up, trust me. What do you know?
And you have to have an English accent.
Well, I already have one.
You have to have something. Yeah. But
Big Al, I'll chime in here real quick, Big Al.
Yeah, Jimmy, I was hoping you and Jerry would chime in on this.
All right. So you'll crowd the left, you'll crowd the center lane. It takes a little bit of work to get used to driving a right-hand vehicle. You will crowd the center line every single time. It's because your perceptions are off. But you do have to practice, like Jerry said, a lot. I know this because I've driven many right-hand drive vehicles, and I always have problems not keeping it to the curb. That being said, so the question I have with this vehicle, is it currently registered in the U.S., Al?
Yeah.
Okay.
It came over, I don't know, like 3 or 4 months ago, Jimmy.
It has Arizona license plates?
Yeah, I believe so. Jimmy, I didn't look, but I'm pretty sure it does. Everything's fine. I'm just wondering, because it's the equivalent of an LX400, are there any parts? I mean, I got the driving issue. I get that. But are there any parts? I mean, if it's an LX400 over there, you know, they call it a Claris or something like that. But it looks just like an LX400. I mean, the parts are going to interchange, aren't they?
No. But anyways, before you get to that, I can tell you what this. Technically, this is what's called. I know you're familiar with it. It's a gray market vehicle. If it has a federal label that's printed in a language other than English, it could get failed at MVD. I only say this because you go there and they I've seen this happen. Even though it's currently registered, the federal label being in a language other than English, which is usually Spanish because that's what we see a lot of here, the inspector will go, sorry, it's a gray car, you can't drive it. But it's already registered. I know they must have made a mistake, you can't drive it anymore. So before you go anywhere and do anything, go down to MVD Enforcement and ask those guys. Because if they say it's good, then you're golden. So just saying that's it's a simple tip because if they fail it because they think it's a gray market car and doesn't meet U.S. specs, they won't, even if it's currently registered, they'll mark it for export only and that you won't be able to drive it on the road.
Jimmy, how do I do that? I got to take it down to MVD and have them look it over again, like a level 3?
Level 2. Yeah, you go down there, go down to Broadmont over here, make an appointment, go down there and say, hey, I'd really like, or you could actually just drive down to yourself in your car and take a photo of the VIN, walk in there. The supervisor's name is Ron Wilson. Go over there and see Ron, super nice guy, incredibly knowledgeable about MVD affairs, what he does for a living. Go over there and say, hey, I'm looking at this car, show him a picture of the VIN, or send it to me and I'll send it to him. Just send it to me, Al. Send me a copy of the federal labor on the VIN. And I'll send it to him and say, hey, is this gray market? And I'll call him up and ask him for you. I'll do that for you. No problem. And then that way you can he'll look at it. He'll look at it and he can tell me. He'll look at it. So make a copy of the plate too, the license plate. And I'll say, hey, look, is this gray market? Because cars come in and out all the time into the U.S. If they don't think it meets U.S. spec, then they'll fail it. Irregardless if it's been currently registered. And the reason why I know this is because a lot of vehicles manufactured in Mexico roll through and get registered even though they should be for export only, And what will happen is you'll get them, and then somebody will try to register it, and it'll get flagged as an export-only vehicle, and the car goes back to Mexico. So that leaves you in a little bit of a quandary. You don't want to pay for that. Now, that all being said, assuming it all passes, because if it's registered, somebody should have looked at it, but maybe not. I don't know. Anyways, assuming all that passes and you're good to go, which I would guess it does, but I always err on the side of caution because...
Yeah, no, that's why I'm calling, Jimmy, and I figured you guys would know. You know I'm looking for a car. I've been looking pretty hard.
Yeah, right.
When you're getting this car, the biggest thing they look at on them, I know what Jim's talking about, is they come across and they have to meet the safety standards that they have on the American cars, and it also has to have all of the emissions equipment that is required by the same model, same year car inside the states. I mean, we've done conversions putting Toyota motors and Chevrolets, and I'd like to never got the thing registered. And all we did was upgrade it better than what it was originally, and it was a problem. But I've seen the cars come through, and they have some of the cars that are made overseas can't even be sold in the U.S. because of the emission standards.
Hey, Jerry.
And the safety. Yeah, they don't have everything.
Hey, Jerry, there's a guy on the line named Sean that's got a right-hand drive car. Shall I put him on with
Alan? Oh, good.
Alan? Hang on.
Yeah, bring him on with Al. Bring him on. Let's do a great.
Jerry?
Hello.
Could you hear me, Jerry?
Yeah, this is Simmons. Who have I got?
Yeah, I'm Sean. I brought one. I have one. I have a right-hand drive. I have a Hilux.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't meet any emission standards. It's got a 3.0 liter turbo diesel. It drives on the wrong side of the road. And as long as it's over 25 years old, it's not the safety standards. And I took it down to emissions. It doesn't have an OBD. Of course, it should have an OBD, but it's a diesel. And the guys at emissions, they just let me roll it, and it passes. It's clean as a whistle. And I know they're difficult to drive. I think Jimmy might have seen it one time. Have you seen it, Jimmy?
I saw it, yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, they're hard to drive. Once you learn to drive them, no problem. And, yeah, parts are tough. My parts have to come from Australia. Mine's a Japanese Hilux. You have to get your parts from Australia, but most of the stuff is Toyota. You know, you can get them from eBay or Amazon or whatever. And they're cool. And most of the damn things are more reliable than anything you'll buy in America. That's why they don't want them here. The damn things are too reliable.
Well, that Hilux has been around a long time.
The choice
That's good.
Every Afghani,
so how long did it take you to learn how to drive it?
Probably about 3 months. I drove it around my neighborhood. I live out on the east side of town. I drove it around the neighborhood about 3 months. I bought it in L.A., and I wouldn't even drive it home. I had to go get a trailer and bring it back. I was too scared to drive it. But, yeah, I drove it around the neighborhood. But me and Chickie actually drove it up to Utah. We put, I don't know, 4,000 kilometers on it in about a week. I drive it all around. I love the thing. I mean, it's cool. It's a conversation starter. You know, it's a cars and coffee thing. And I mean, mine is pristine. Mine's only got 121,000 kilometers on it. It's all in kilometers. You know, you're on the wrong side of the road. It's a 5-speed. You know, the gas and the clutch are the right way, but you're shifting with your wrong hand. And the only thing that's really weird is the turn signal's on the wrong side. So every time you try and use the turn signals, you turn on the windshield wipers, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I remember trying to drive those things overseas, and I'm going to tell you something. You know, it was interesting. It was interesting. And even taking an American vehicle and driving overseas, because now you have to take it and put it on the wrong side of the road. That's just wrong.
Oh, it's, yeah. I mean, we were 15 hours in that thing, and again, you're on the wrong side of the road. It's not intuitive to us. I mean, I've got four left-hand drives here and one right-hand drive, and when I get that thing out, I have to relearn. It's like turning your typewriter keyboard upside down and trying to type on it. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It does to me because I've been there and done that. Actually, I was driving when I come back from overseas, and I'd get in the car, and I'm driving down the road. My wife says, "Is there a reason you're driving on the left side?" And I'm going, "Yeah." And she said, "But this was early in the morning. There wasn't any traffic out. You know, one car way down the road." And she says, "You might want to get back up on the right side before you crash." But that was easier to get. Yeah, that's dangerous. But
yeah,
that's good to know. The Hilux, that's a Toyota. What Al's looking at is a Toyota. Al, do you have any questions for Sean?
We lost Al. I don't know if he hung up or what happened, but we lost Al. Sorry, Jerry.
He's still listening. He's still listening out there. We know he's out there.
He's still listening.
Well, Al, if you're still listening, buy it. Just for the conversation factor, because when you pull up to a gas station and you get out on the wrong side, we got pulled over up in Globe. Me and Chicky were driving to Globe, and the cop pulls us over for doing like two over or some crap up there. The cop comes to the wrong side of, you know, comes up to the driver's side of the car, and there's no steering wheel. And just for the unique factor, you know, I mean, in Globe, of course, you know, you're driving two over, they're going to write you a $270 ticket for no reason. But just for the fact that it was the conversation factor, I have never got a warning in my life. And the guy wrote us a warning just for the conversation factor of, "Oh, you're driving on the wrong side of the car." And I was like, "Yeah, I was only," he goes, "You know how fast you're going?" I go, "Yeah, 100. He goes, "What?" I go, "Yeah, I was doing 100. "Well, that's 62 miles an hour. Well, I was 7 over, sorry. Guy wrote us a warning just because of the conversation factor of the car.
Well, good. You got lucky.
Hey, you guys have a great show. I love this. I am so thrilled to hear you guys. This is so much fun, Jimmy. Jen and Jerry. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I appreciate you, buddy.
You guys have a wonderful day. Happy Saturday.
Thank you. Interesting call. Oh, a little FYI. Little FYI for the drivers out there. When the law says 55 miles an hour, it didn't say 56 or 57. It said 55. Anything over 55, you can get a ticket, and it is legitimate. I know people have done it. Remember those little TV cameras we had sitting in the intersections and out on the roads? I think they had a little bit of room in the ones out on the roads, but turning a corner and stuff like that, you're down to milliseconds. That's the reason everybody's having so much fun when they had to go learn how to drive. I know I was one of them. And we were had so much fun, they turned us loose at noontime instead of 4 o'clock. They couldn't handle the heat. They didn't have any business asking us when we went in. How many of you think that the only reason they put these cameras up here is a fundraiser for the state? Hey, no. Hang on. Take over, Jim. I'm going to have to go.
He's chiming in, Jerry. He absolutely agrees with you that they put the cameras up for fundraising.
She has a woodpecker up on the house. And she is so sure that she can whoop that thing if she can grab a hold of it. But she makes so too much noise, so I'll handle that. But just keep talking on the subject. We're doing fine.
Yeah, no, so red light cameras, how do you want to go down this road? Yes, they're revenue generating.
Very, very, very careful.
it's interesting. If you talk to a municipality about revenue, about red light cameras, what they'll tell you is that the cameras are really, really affected at revenue generating for about 6 months. And then they start to taper off because people, you know, learn that, you know, they should smash the brakes before going through the yellow and cause the rear-end collision, you know. So they'll smash the brakes or they'll wait. So I had a study one time about the latency of intersection interchange with red light cameras, you know, because people are now afraid to go into the intersection because they might get a red light camera ticket. So they don't go into the intersection. Mm-hmm. So there's a traffic flow condition that is now created. Agreed that the guy who the light goes yellow, then it goes red, and the guy blows through the intersection, you know, that's completely wrong. You should never do that, and for any reason. So, and you know, you need to drive safe because you don't know what we see crashes every single day. There's, you know, we see the law enforcement guy, you know, died down there at Campbell and Six. He was flying down the road and had a crash with a vehicle. I don't know exactly what took place, but you know, a fatality occurred. So that's why we have traffic control. But so as the red light cameras occur, more and more, you know, people become more and more timid about approaching the intersection. They never get the right-hand turn one always messes them up because where you stop isn't where you're supposed to stop, because and then it gives you a ticket, and even though you think you stopped or you actually did stop, but it's in the wrong, you stopped in the wrong spot. I've seen that happen a bunch of times. And nevertheless, cities will put them up for, you know, under the guise of safety, and they do work. They slow people down, but, you know, that's also to get money because, you know, well, we need the money. But then what happens is after about 6 months, the funds taper off because people quit running the red lights. People stop doing them, or they avoid the intersections with red lights. So maybe they'll go out of their way and say, well,
right,
I don't want to go down 22nd Wilmot. I'll drive the other direction. So now a street that's not designed to handle the load is now handling much more load. And there you go. More wear, more tear, more crash. So that's what I heard about. What did your side say?
What, on my side?
What did your research say?
What, on the cameras?
Yeah, on the cameras, yes, sir.
It's same. My research was done when I went to learn how to drive a vehicle because I was 56 mile an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone that had just changed to 55. In other words, you think you're still running, 55, and all of a sudden you're in a 45. And that's what happened to me. And I'm going, okay. So they said, you can pay the fine and you won't have anything on your record, or you can go to school and you won't have anything on your record. I said, you know, I've heard people about these cameras on the roads and around the corners, and I've never had a ticket from one of them and up until now. So I go in, and then they have these stupid questions. They said, what were you thinking? And what were you thinking? You wasn't, evidently. And then they said, what's your major concern about this course, you know? And then they ask you the dumb question, do you think it's a fundraiser? Evidently, I did. I'm like the rest of the consumers out there. And however, I have been at Tankaverde and Kolb and sat there and watched 9 vehicles go through a red light like a choo-choo train. So I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, where they have the little one out there, you know, I should have known, but they didn't have the sign where it was supposed to be that showed where the change was. And I thought, well, that's dumb. And but as things progressed, I told them my biggest concern was I'm from North Carolina. That's NASCAR country. If you give me a ticket for 56 mile an hour, I better be driving a lawnmower. And they took off of that, and I said, you know, it's just ridiculous. You know, one, Raytheon had so many tickets out there off of that same little stretch. They called it the Wall of Fame and had a room set up with the copy of the tickets posted on the wall, and that's how much fun they had with that one area. It's almost like if you didn't get a ticket there, you're not a Raytheon employee. And I just laughed my butt off on that. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard of. But, no, cameras are good. I just think that, you know, we're photographed so many times in a period of a day anyway. I can't remember how many times I heard that we were actually photographed. If you go into a bank, you're photographed. You go into a Circle K, you're photographed. You go into a grocery store, you're photographed. And so you can sit there and count those things off on what you did all day long, and you are already all over photographs everywhere. I mean, there's nothing, I mean, and now they're going to, you drive down the road, you know. Hey, did you see this picture where they had, they showed me my picture when I had it, got my ticket. And I looked at it and I said, huh, that's definitely me. It's amazing. You go into a Circle K that spent $1 billion on on photographs, on photographic equipment, and you can't tell anything. It's all blurred and smeared and everything else. You can get a speeding ticket or a ticket from a camera on the freeway, and that thing is in 3D, 5G quality and all of this stuff. And, I mean, it can, if you smile, it'll tell you if you had false teeth or not. I mean, it is great. So I the technology that they use wasn't really second class. I mean, it had you pretty much. But anyway, it was fun. So, but my take on it, I think that they ought to, the patrol people out there, you know, the ones that are watching for drivers, one real concern that I have is a right turn where there's a four-way intersection and you've got a lead on to the Speedway or 22nd Street, and you make a right coming in on a little lead loop as you make the little turn, and you're trying to watch the traffic for your far left, the traffic in front of you, and looking in a rearview mirror to see if that guy is doing the same thing that you do at the same time so that he don't hit you in the butt if you have to hit your brakes. But, you know, if somebody starts on the coming out on the free, even a freeway or any major artery, and they let off the brakes and they accelerate and they go up, all of a sudden they say, oops, and they hit the brakes. That's when you have to call Frontier Towing. That's my concern. Or the guy's cut, because you can't, it's hard to see the guy coming in to the left, and you see the guy in front, but you don't really know what he's going to do. So you give yourself some extra room, thank goodness. And then you're hoping that the guy behind you gives extra room before you crowd it up on the freeway. But freeway speeds, if you go up on freeway, people, when you get on the freeway, in the lane, you're supposed to be at freeway speed, whatever it is. And some of these cars, you know, I used to have a Volkswagen, little Volkswagen diesel. You had to turn the air conditioning off and everything else just to get on the freeway, not to the speed, just to get up on the freeway without getting killed. So it's driving is a full-time job. Can you imagine texting and driving these old cars, especially like the one that Al's looking at when everything's on the wrong side of the car?
That would be an experience. Texting while driving a right-hand drive car, boy, that could be a is the screen flip backwards for the phone? I mean, does it read from
I don't know.
Text go from the left to the right, or from the right to the left instead of the left to the right? I mean, boy.
Well, yes, I'm sure that Sean can explain that really well. You know, I'm sure that he probably had to go through it, but he probably does not text and drive either. So
no, he does not. He does not.
Oh well. Now we've had a lot of fun with these things. What else do we want to pick on this morning? All right, you got. I'm anxious to see what the deal is with the hybrids and electrics. Have you heard any scuttlebutt on that other than what I just told you?
Nothing more. No, you nailed it right on target there. You got it right on target. So
the prices are coming down, Jerry. They're about $37,000 for a Y, and I think it's about $38,000 for a 3. And they're coming down big time. The pickups are coming down also for electrics only.
Good.
They should. They still haven't cured the problems. The reason people are staying away from them right now, and they keep hyping it up. And I know what they're hyping it up. The manufacturers have spent so much money on research and development and getting these things going. It takes money to make money, and these guys have spent a lot of money. And then the market started slowing down. And I think the price coming down is a good indication, because that's what you normally do when the market slows down. They drop the price on them. This information that I have on the top 10 electric cars, top 10 now, that's your big guys. If at 43 to 65 is the average, depending on how they're equipped. Now, I don't know any. Tesla, the last one I seen is 180 something. And I'm going, you know, where did they get to 65 average? You know, but if you take all the cars that are selling for 30,000 now, and then you take all the cars selling for 180,000, that has to be where they're getting at 43 to 65. It has to be. So, but yeah, anything, when you have an overage, you're going to get a better price break on it. But they still, until they prove to me that they have the full infrastructure done, will your house support a charging station? How much is that charging station going to cost you to put into your house? Can they give you the solid figure on it? Hell no, they can't. They got to see what you're at and what you have for service and how old the house is and all
right.
of that.
Well, it all depends on the utility box. The utility box can be,
if it's too small. And how many people know what they got in the utility box?
Yeah, that's an electrician thing. No. But you still can't charge your car. It's just you can't charge it very fast. That's all. I mean,
you plug it in, you better be. You know, the good thing about it, it will save on road wear, because, you know, they're going to be sitting around a while. Now, said all that, say all this, except when they drive. And then the weight of the car is more than the standard vehicle, so they're going to have the additional weight. It's kind of like driving a dump truck, you know, where your construction trucks have more wear and tear on a 22nd Street here in Tucson than, you know, my Honda Odyssey. But that's just the beast.
Speaking about
by
roads,
the way,
oh, you were saying about roads, yeah, Jerry. Ahead. Apparently, in Kentucky, they're making an electrified highway. So what they're going to do is that you can charge your vehicle while you drive down the highway in Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
So they can't fix potholes around here.
Are you moving to Kentucky? Have a nice trip.
No.
That's what I was talking about on the infrastructure. You know, when they get it all ready, then we'll be ready for them. And if we think it'll go, then we'll do it.
Well, they have potholes.
I'm going to stick to what I said when I first heard of the electric cars coming out, the battery-operated cars coming out. I will stay with the hybrid, where I've got a backup three-cylinder motor that goes tuck, 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 tuck.
Oh, we got about 20 seconds. We're almost there, Jerry. Jerry, we're almost done.
What?
We got about 15 seconds.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break right now. So we'll take a break right now on with the Simmons Car Care Show, and we'll bring you back at the top of the hour with the second hour of the Simmons Car Care. Don't forget the tickets to the racetrack tonight. We'll be right back.